Blog Talk Radio.
PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Dunlap, and we are excited tremendously that you are with us on this evening. Also sitting here at the table, we have, of course, Adia Sanders, one of the other hosts of the show. Adia, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. How's everybody out there doing? I hope you're fine.
Oh, yes, we are good. We just finished teaching one of our recent cohorts, the second session of Will You Not. So things are going well in the land of PRF. So where are we at tonight? We are starting a brand new series, the night series that we're starting off for April 2016. It is a fresh biblical start to planning and saving. And I know, Adia, I know you have so much on this topic because we have done so much planning to be prepared for tonight's show. I want to just give it to you, Adia, if you don't mind, just to give us some of your thoughts on this important topic of planning and saving.
Alex, I don't know why I feel unprepared, but I think, you know, I just go back to where when you look at the time of the year, and what comes to mind is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which says there's a time for everything under the sun. And so when you think about there being a time, there is no better time than now, where so many people are going to receive or have already received their tax refunds from, you know, the taxes that were taken out last year, the money that we loaned the government for free. And I just think, you know, that because there's a time for everything, that this is the perfect time to begin to plan, what am I going to do with this refund? Am I going to just use all of it to pay off debt? Am I going to use it to invest in retirement fund? Am I going to use it to open up my children's college fund? Am I going to use it to, you know, start putting money away for Christmas that is going to be here, you know, in, you know, about 8 months? And so when I think about planning and saving, I think about the timing. And because the timing is right, because the Bible tells us there's a time for everything under the sun, I think that this topic is very critical, and it is important to keep people, to help keep things in perspective, to challenge all of us to think, and if you haven't put together a plan, to go ahead and put together a plan and to be open and to be vigilant, and what things do you want to get done, and what are some goals that you want to set. And so when I think of planning, and saving, I think about the ant. You know, I think about being able to not just look at what I want today, but also to think about what things do I want in the future, because the Bible also tells us, you know, that we can put together a plan, but God will direct our path. But you have to put together a plan. You must have a plan first in order for your path to be directed. And so I just think that this is a very important topic that some people may not want to talk about. And I want to share this. You know, my best friend called me about a month ago when she received her tax refund, and she said, you know, I want to invest in a retirement fund. And so I told her, you know, I will, you know, get you into the right direction, you know, but the fact that it was a thought and she began to put things in place was what meant that she had given it some thought, meant that she had made a decision and made up in her mind that whatever she'd done previously, she was no longer going to do. And so if the thought process is not there, if the behavior and changing of the behavior is not there, then what I think will happen is that you will hear the information, however, without letting the seed taking root and germinating, there's a tendency to go back to the what's comfortable, what is familiar. And so with Planning Me and Savings, we want to challenge you that what we are used to doing is not what we do, and it no longer becomes the norm, but now we have a new norm, something that is positive, that is going to take us beyond living in the moment, but living, you know, preparing for the future. And so that, those are the things that came to me, preparing and understanding that, you know, it's not something that happens overnight, that it takes time, it takes effort, it takes, you know, being coachable, it takes being teachable, it takes being transparent, and it takes really just being vulnerable. And so I'm ready to go into tonight's topic and see, you know, definitely what is going to be said that will be a blessing not only to those listening, but also to myself on tonight as well. And I just thank you for this opportunity.
Amen. And I'm going to just tell you, you said a couple things at the end. You said a lot of good things. But a couple things that you said at the end is, it's going to take time. It's going to take us to be vulnerable, not you, but it's going to take us to be vulnerable. It's going to take us to be teachable. It's going to take us to be transparent. And, you know, that's kind of like a common theme that we have with all of the lessons here at PRF. So tonight, as we deal and just introduce this series from the Planning and Savings or next, our next door neighbors, we're going to be in a better place. I'm confident that we're going to be in a better place. We have to change our language, though. So what we're going to do as we engage in these conversations over the next 4 weeks, and if it lasts longer, you know how we do it here at the table. But as we deal with this, the only way that I see us changing the language, right, changing conversations, Adia, from I can't afford to save, changing conversations of I don't have anything to save, changing conversations of I got to pay my bills first, changing those negative conversations for one, and then adding the Word of God into the mix. If we're willing to add the Word of God into the mix, then we now are giving ourselves the better opportunity for God to mix things up. Mm-hmm. And those mixing things up is going to be, you got to be vulnerable. I mean, let's be real. If you don't have a certain amount of money in the bank right now, I'm talking about not in your checking account, but I'm talking about in a savings account, or you don't have a certain amount of money saved up right now for emergencies. And my thing is, let us show you how you can work towards to get it. Because at the end of the day, if you don't do anything, then it's not going to increase. If you have $10 in your savings account, it's not going to increase just because you want it to increase. There has to be something else put in. And I think about the scripture where Jesus says, you can't put old wine or new wine. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. So we have to deal with things from let's transform thinking. And I'll even say this. This is not about folk. This show and what we're going to be talking about this month is not about folk that don't have money. No, I'm talking to some of us that do have some dollars in the bank. Because there's also this notion that when we have money in the bank, that is just for us. Uh-oh. Yeah, that means that steps on the toes of somebody being vulnerable, right?
Yep.
You got $12,000 in your checking account, in your savings account, but yet you have somebody that's next to you in service that doesn't have any money to put in the offering plate. Really? I ain't condemning nobody. I'm just saying we got to change the way we're thinking. And oftentimes, guess what? You're not going to know that I've got $12,000 in my bank account. You're not going to know it. But we have to prick the hearts of those who have as well as those who have not. Because there's a reason why God has instituted saving And it's not so we can just store up stuff. Jesus talked about that too much. It ain't about us storing up stuff. And so one of the things that when we deal with, again, we're talking about planning and savings. But before we get to savings, we got to deal with the planning part, right? Nobody saves by accident. It's always intentional. When you go into your job and you get hired at this new position, they say, sir, ma'am, we have a 401k. That's a form of savings. But there's something that you have to do. Well, what is it that you have to do? You have to sign a piece of paper that says you're going to allow X amount of dollars to come out of your check every single or come out of your check every month or every 2 weeks. Those are intentional actions that you have to do. Now, I remember when I was over the Army Personal Financial Management course, and one of the lessons that we taught was on TSP, a thrift savings plan. And we offered the people, the students, the opportunity to enroll in a thrift savings plan, which is, you know, the 401k for the military and for the federal government. Well, there were some people that was like, man, this is a good thing, saving for my future. But we had to kind of tell some people and help people to pump their brakes a little bit, because you can be so gung-ho about saving, you know what, I'm going to put 15% of my base pay. And then when you get to your duty station or you get through your probationary period at that federal job, and then you realize, uh-oh, I didn't plan properly for that 15% to be coming out of my check. What's going to happen to your savings? I think most folk going to probably, depending on where they are financially, they probably going to dip into that 401k. Now you're dealing with penalties and all that other kind of stuff. So we want to say, look,
all right, so of course I cannot pick up Nate left off, but I'm going to do my best. Basically, you know, what he's saying is that, you know, if you don't plan forward, you know, you're excited that you have money to be able to start saving for your future and investing, you still have to look at the whole picture. You know, if that 15% does not allow you to put money away to be able to save for an emergency fund, which is 3 to 6 months, of your income, then what happens when you have that 15%? You have it. You have 3 to 6 months plus for income, but now you're going to be penalized if you have to pull it out early because it's earlier than what it's supposed to be pulled out. And so as you're going through and planning, you know, when you go to different classes, you have to be able to have a plan on, you know, what are my living expenses going to be? You have to be able to plan and ask yourself, you know, how much am I going to pay, you know, for a mortgage if I plan to buy a house there? Am I going to have to put any money down? How much am I going to pay in rent? So in making decisions, you know, financial decisions, it's not just a one-sided or kind of just a one-track mind mentality, but you have to be able to look at the full picture. You have to be able to look at money for expenses, money, you know, that you have to set aside, you know, for car expenses and different things like that. And so 15% may not be at this point in your life, may not be the best or the right percentage for you. Maybe you're going to have to lower it to 10% or 8%, and then as you get a pay raise, now you can begin to increase it or set a goal to be able to increase it by 1% or by 2% or 2.5%. That is what we're talking about when it comes to saving and planning, or planning and saving. And I kind of like what I just said is because you want to save, but you can't save until you have a plan. So if you start saving without a plan, is your saving really a benefit to you? Is it really helping you, or are you just saving? And like you said earlier, you know, somebody has $12,000 in the bank, but they got somebody sitting next to them that doesn't even have $5 to put in the orphan pan at school. So what is your savings doing? What is the benefit of the savings if it's just sitting in the bank? And, I mean, I know we're not going to touch on this, but we all know that the banks don't even give you nowhere near the percentage that they're earning off of your money. And so when you understand how money works, and, you know, sometimes it may not be beneficial. It may be better for you to give to a charity, give your tithes and offering to church so that you can claim that on your taxes. So when we're planning and saying, you know, if somebody knows that they have money in the bank, but it's just sitting there, but you got, you know, different organizations that you can be a blessing to, is that a part of your planning is the question that I guess I'm asking at the end of the day. Is it a part of your planning? Or is the money there, and what purpose does it serve? If it's your 3 to 6 months, you know, for income in case something were to happen, then it's serving a purpose. But if it is there, you know, and you can be of service to someone or to an organization, if it's maybe a kid's T-ball, is there something that is of benefit to where you can get? And so that's what I, you know, just thinking about what you said, and as far as like the savings part, you know, getting gung-ho, the person has the passion and sees the vision and understands that it is important for them to save. However, if they have not planned and factored in, you know, that I have to put money set aside for income in case something happens, you know, I can get sick and not be able to work anymore and I'm laid off, or from my job I have to resign, or, you know, I'm going to buy a home and maybe I want to put money down and save up to that, I can't put 15% away because it doesn't give me the ability to do that. So I really liked everything that you said, and just found it very enriching, very enriching.
Well, I'm a throw. You know, we are always our batting, tossing the ball back and forth and hitting things back and forth to each other here on this show. I'm going to throw out a couple of questions, and these are not rhetorical questions. These are very serious questions because, again, tonight's show is a fresh biblical start to planning and saving. So what that means is, to all of you who are listening, is that we're not going to be able to cover everything that the Bible says about planning and saving, because the Bible has a lot to say about both of those areas. So we're going to start with planning, right? So this is the question that I'm going to throw out there. And if you're listening and you would like to be a part of this conversation, press 1. If you're listening online and you want to call in, you can do that at the number 347-215-7934. We'll see you on the switchboard and we'll bring you into the conversation. So here's my first question. How do you implement proverbial wisdom into your finances? And then I had to say, well, really not just your finances, but into your whole PRF profile. So dealing with your possessions, your resources, and your finances, how do you implement proverbial wisdom? And when I say proverbial, we're talking about, okay, Proverbs, right? The wisdom of Proverbs. God has a lot to say through our various wisdom writers regarding planning and regarding saving. And so I threw the question out there, Dia, but I'm going to give you one, or give us one. If you go to Proverbs 16:1 says, we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. We can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. So when I think about that particular verse, what it says to me is that we want God to be the one that's controlling our plans. We want God to be able to say and pull us tight in a loving manner. The way you're trying to plan this thing is not right. I need you to do something different. Or the way that you're planning this thing, you're on the right path. We want our plans to be confirmed by God. If God is confirming our plans, then that makes it all the better. Now, we know we don't like to talk in double negatives on the show, sometimes is necessary. But a lot of people have made a lot of plans in their life that did not involve God. And when people have made plans that did not involve God, oftentimes because of the testimonies that we've heard in church, it has not gone the way that people thought they should go, thought that it should happen. So why not say, you know what? It's not about me making my own plans. It's about the answer that God gives. That's what I'm looking for, dear. I'm looking for God to give me the answer about what it is. As we deal with PRF, I mean, those of y'all who've been with us over the last couple of years, y'all know we shut down at the end of the year specifically so that we can plan what's going to happen with this ministry in the following year. So we have to be able to put ourselves into a position to be able to hear from God. The verse says, but the Lord gives the right answer, meaning the Lord. So the question is, what's the question? Think about it. We can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. So now I'm just wondering, are you putting a question before God that gives them the ability to give you an answer? Or are you just saying, you know what, I want to be rich one day, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to work here. Or I'm going to go to school at this place just because it's close to home. That's not how we make plans. That's not how godly folk make plans. We make plans by putting God into the mix and asking him the questions about the plans that we're putting forth, and then allowing him to give us answers, whether we're going down the right path or whether we're not going down the right path. I don't think that's too hard of a thing to do. It's just one of those things where you have to be willing to meditate upon God's word and say, okay, let me get this and let me put this one on my heart. Let me put this one around my neck. We can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. We can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. Lord, is my plan is my plan stupid, or is it a good one? You can talk to God like that. Lord, this plan don't seem like it's going right. Am I going down the wrong path? Go ahead.
What I was going to say, when you said that, I like when you said, you know, are you asking the right question? When you said that, what came to mind was, does your plan include the ability for God to respond? Can he even respond to it to give you an answer? Because like you said, if somebody planned something and it didn't involve God, that means it didn't allow him the ability to give him to respond to it. And so you know, when you were talking about, you know, what people thought that what they thought, how they thought it should have went, it didn't go that way, and now they had more heartache and more pain and more adversity. But did they even think about the fact, does my plan allow God to respond? Does it allow the Lord to respond?
We can add into this? We can also add Psalm 46 and 10. Be still and know that I am God. That is a scripture that has really helped me throughout the years. It's helped me because by remembering that scripture, by meditating on that scripture, it's caused me to sit my butt down at times when I was trying to run and do certain things. Not necessarily sinful things, ungodly things, or the wrong thing, but sometimes we can do the good thing and not the God thing, right? So when you take that scripture of Psalm 46 and 10, where it says, be still and know that I am God, if you be still, then you can hear from God. I don't know too many people that are able to hear from God with a whole bunch of noise and distractions all around them. I may hear something, but I don't know if it's going to be God. So we can add that to that Proverbs 16 and 1 scripture, because I think it's important. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Are we asking a question for God to give us an answer? Or are we just going down whatever path we're going and telling him things? Let's bring this out. There's a difference between telling God something and asking him something, right? Lord, you know I really want this husband. Lord, you know I really want this wife. Okay, that ain't asking God nothing. That's just telling him what you want. Oh, and please don't use that scripture about the Lord give you the desires of your heart. Please don't go there, y'all. Please don't go there with everything. No. If you look at the scripture, we can make our plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. Put yourself in position, ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and my sisters, to ask God the questions regarding your plans so that he can give you the answer. And if he gives you the answer, it may tell, the great thing about that is there's some saving grace in God giving you an answer, right? I'm planning to go work over in Iraq because I need money. But then I ask God, Lord, do I need to be going over there? I ain't afraid of the conflict. I ain't afraid of being in war. I'm military, but do I need to be going over there right now? And then the Lord says, no. The Lord may have just saved my life just for me asking the question. He'll do the same thing with your finances. Lord, do I need to go ahead and buy this house? Do I need to go ahead and buy this particular car? Do I need to take this student loan? Do I need to go to college at this place or at that place? There's another scripture too. If you go to Proverbs 16 and 3, all these tying together. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. What? So that means if I commit all this to God, that my plans, you know what I love about it, Adia? It didn't say you got a 50-50% chance that your plans will succeed. It just says your plans will succeed. To me, that sounds like a promise, cuz. So if he's telling me that as long as I commit my plans to him, my plans will succeed, why would I want to commit my actions to the Lord? See, when we start talking about a fresh biblical start, we got to start, we're dealing with reframing thinking, not thinking about things the same old way. But let's just start from a basic foundation. And for me, this basic foundation is really, really clear with some of these scriptures that God has laid so eloquently out there for us in the book of Proverbs. Can I give us another one? Well, matter of fact, let me do one thing. Mama has taken her rightful seat at the table, so we just want to say hello to Mama, and Mama has been quietly listening to us as we've been going on for the past 30 minutes. So, Mama, good evening to you.
Good evening, and good evening to my PRF family.
How are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, thank you.
Very good. Very good to hear that. Well, as always, Mama, you jump on in. It's like double dutch. You just find a way to, whereas you're going up for it, going back, going for it, going back, you just get in where you can fit in.
Okay,
but let
thank
me
you.
Give, there's another one, Proverbs 16 and 9. And again, people, what we're doing tonight is really laying the foundation for planning. Again, we can get to a whole bunch of different saving strategies, right, Adia? But if we haven't put a plan in place, if we don't have any foundation in place, why in the world am I going to help save $1 million or save up for $1 million when you ain't even know, you don't even know how you're going to work the plan? It's not just going to come out the sky like manna. It's going to have to come from your paycheck, your pension, or wherever else you're legally getting money. Amen? All right, so Proverbs 16 and 9. We can make our own plans, but the Lord determines our steps. We can make our own plans, but the Lord is the one who determines our steps. I don't know about you, but when I read that scripture, that puts everything back into perspective of God, and it takes it away from me. It when you read that, it's kind of sounds just how it sounds like to me when I read that. You can do what you want to do, but really, it's the Lord that's going to really be the one that directs your steps. So let's not get ahead of ourselves in thinking that we're so great and we're so wonderful and we are so knowledgeable. that because we have a good knack for putting a plan together, that is us. Nah, that's really not what we're dealing with. We're really just, again, it's not about us. It's about God. And it makes it kind of, it makes it interesting, the conversation that we're having tonight, y'all, because planning in itself doesn't have to have anything to do with God. But again, tonight's show is a fresh biblical perspective on planning and savings. So with that, Mama, have you heard anything that, that has pricked your heart yet as we go into the last segment of our show tonight?
Yes, that we have to be in the position, the right position to, you know, to receive an answer to the question that we have asked God. And we also have to be prepared to follow the directions or instructions that God's going to give us according to the plan that we have made. And sometimes God will alter that plan, you know, by a word or by, as you're saying, just wait on the Lord. Just stand still and wait. But meanwhile, while we're waiting, we don't do anything. We still continue to look over our plan and continue to add or take away whichever one that that we decide to do. And so we have to, God say, acknowledge me in everything. He says, begins his trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Acknowledge me in everything that you do. So no matter what we do, we need to bring God in on this, God in on whatever we are doing. And so when it comes to our finances, it's not any different because God is providing for us. That's where our source is. And so we need to bring him in and be, and we want to be a good steward of what God has given us. You know, and so our plan can be a $1 million plan, but if we're not going to be a good steward over it, you know, God may just delay it, you know, until we get more knowledge or we are really ready to accept the instructions that God has given us concerning the answer that we ask, that, you know, an answer to the question that we ask God for. So that's why they say, yeah, be careful what you ask for, because God's going to give you what he knows is going to work for you. He does not set us up for failure. Amen.
That's right. You know, one of the things that if you really look at what is being communicated in Proverbs, especially in the 16th chapter, what you really find is a contrast between the upright and the wicked. But not just a contrast between the upright and the wicked. There's also encouragement in there to live godly lives. The two verses, for example, Proverbs 16:9, we make our own plans, but it's going to be the Lord that determines our steps. And take that in contrast with 16:1, we can make our plans, but it's going to be the Lord that gives the right answer. That is so much of a spiritual tone, more so than a practical tone. And there's nothing wrong with that. There has to be that spiritual connection there with God, with the Lord, in order for us to be able to follow his direction. So why not just follow what God is saying regarding the plans that we're putting in place, the plans that we're trying to make? You know, when I look at the verses also, what I'm seeing, and this is what I'm seeing that ultimately God is the source of all things. We can make our plans, but he's saying, look, I'm directing your steps. So really, what you're really doing is not what you really think you're doing, even though you have it laid out. you know, with God being the source of all things, there's something else there as well. And that's that even though we as human beings, as humanity, mankind, we have a measure of freedom with our actions. We got free will. We choose the decisions that we make. We choose the plans that we take. But this thing is looking at it, is making a contrast for me. Is it man's plan or is it God's plan? I guess if I had to throw out a second question, it would be, how do we really know the difference? How do we know the difference between my plan and God's plan? I get this good idea that comes into my head. I believe it's something that hit my spirit about a certain plan of action. The question is for you who are listening, how do you know the difference between your plan and God's plan? I'm going to caution us. Just because something is not smooth during the process does not mean it's not God's plan. That should set somebody free tonight. Because it's easy to want things to just flow smooth. Okay, y'all quiet on me tonight. Let's go back to Exodus. I got to keep taking y'all back to the bondage periods, right? Let's go back to Exodus. Moses, following God's direction, led the children of Israel out of Egypt. When Moses was standing there, and Pharaoh's army was on their tail, Moses had to make a decision. He could have just laid down and died, or he could have done what he did, which was cry out to God, ask God questions, and let God give him an answer, and God showed him. We know the Bible records that the waters receded and there was safe passage on dry land across as Pharaoh's army was coming behind them. When they got to the other side, I don't think anybody was saying, we knew, I'm thankful for being here. That was all in God's plan. But we know that that was all in God's plan. So I'm saying that all that to say that sometimes it's just not as clear cut. It's just not as easy as we may want it to be. But it doesn't mean that it's not God's plan. So my encouragement to everybody is don't give up on the plan because it's not as easy and smooth as you think. Again, the question to y'all who are listening, how do you really know the difference? How do you know if it's God's plan or if it's your plan? And I know it's challenging. We almost done for tonight. I'm going to throw a third question out here for us. And I hope and pray that everybody who is listening takes the next couple of days and just really asks God to speak to your heart about the plans that you're making, the plans that you have made. But so think about this one. And this is not a biblical question. This is a real practical question. So how do you really know the difference if it's God's plan or your plan? That's one of those spiritual natured questions, a question of a spiritual tone. How do you implement that proverbial wisdom into your finance? That's a spiritual question that also has the practical piece in it. But I'm just going to ask a regular, general, straight-up question. When it comes to plans, who are you talking to? Why y'all even be more quiet now? Who are you talking to about your plans? who are you seeking advice from when it comes to the plans that you're making? I know that in the book of Proverbs, it says very clearly, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. True. That is true. But that's not the question. The question is, who are you talking to? If every time God gives you something, you're quick to tell somebody else, let me tell you what I'm about to do. Let me tell you what I'm about to do. Is that how God wants you to react? Is that how God wants you to respond? You can't invite everybody into your plans. Please hear me. Everybody does not have your best interest at heart on all things and all matters. So if we're going to start with a foundational perspective, a fresh biblical start to planning and savings, you want to ask the question, who are you talking to? Who are you seeking advice from? And it may be kind of, it may be necessary to even ask the question, who have you already talked to about your plans? Because sometimes the people that you have already talked to about your plans are some of the people that have been utilized to disrupt your plans. Sometimes the people that you may have communicated your plans to may not have been the people that you needed to communicate your plans to. Well, why is that important? Because if God has given you something, if God has given you a vision, given you something inside of your heart, and you said, you know what, let me go ahead and communicate this to this person, communicate to that person, without even just sitting before God saying, God, show me who I need to be getting with, connecting with, that can help me fulfill this plan. And then you just, you tell certain folks, then it doesn't work, and then they don't respond the way you always want them to respond, and all of this and all of that. And then what happens is you get discouraged, and you believe that that's not the plan because it's taking longer. Oh, that ain't no problem. You know what? I'll take care of that paperwork for you. And 4 months later, they still ain't put a piece of ink on the paper. And then you go and you start over. Or, even worse, you back up from it. Again, this thing of planning really involves you talking and communicating with God. Well, God, you said this person was going to do this for me for free. Or not, you said, God, this person said they were going to do this for free when I brought this to them. They ain't done nothing with it yet. Lord, what's up with this? So I don't go act a fool with this person. So I don't go mess up relationship with this person. So I don't go talk bad about that person. God may tell you, that wasn't the one I had for you to help you with this in the first place. You just went to him because that was your boy. You just went to him because that was your homegirl. You just went to him because that was somebody in the community that had a certain status. Again, we're talking about a fresh biblical start to planning and savings. And if you have been hurt by individuals, if you've been hurt because the process didn't work like you thought it was going to work, if it took longer than what you expected it to take, because of who you're connected with, that deters people from focusing on things. And God doesn't want you frustrated with the plans that he has given for you. That ain't what God wants. So, question number one, how do you implement proverbial wisdom into your finances or into your PRF profile? Look in the Proverbs. That's a real simple one. What does the book of Proverbs say about planning? Proverbs 16:1 is a good one. Proverbs 16:3 is a good one. Proverbs 16:9 is another good one. Next question, how do you really know the difference between your plan and God's plan? How do you know? See, I can recall certain things that's happened in my life, and I can say, you know what, I knew that was God because of how certain things lined up. And then there's other times in my life that I can say, regarding plans, I knew that was God because of the roadblock that he put in place. Sometimes God putting a roadblock in place when we make plans is not a bad thing. It's a good thing if it's going to save your life. It's a good thing if it's going to not have you running around scatterbrained. It's a good thing if it saves you a whole bunch of money and time and energy and relationships. It's a good thing. The third thing is real simple. Who are you talking to? Who are you seeking advice from? See, I have to throw that one out there because I can just take PRF, for example, Mama.
Yes.
And all of the plans that go in, that go into the PRF table, the PRF Institute, and revising curriculum, and all, it takes work. But I know one thing for sure. God has not ordained for everybody to be involved in the process. We can't have a planning meeting about certain things with PRF with everybody. It needs to be the right people. It needs to be the ordained people by God to be involved in the planning phase. Sometimes on certain things, I, as one of the people who's intricately involved in PRF, have a conversation with one of the team members. I'll have a conversation with another one. I'll have a conversation with somebody else who may not be, quote-unquote, officially on the team. But I'm not just running my mouth making plans with anybody, just haphazardly, and then expecting God to make it work. That's not how we do it. That's not proverbial wisdom at all. You know, there's a song called Order My Steps. Order My Steps, Dear Lord. I don't want to try to sing it at all. Adia, I know you know it. Adia could probably sing it and take us out for the night. when you think about it, as we're starting something, we should always want to start something with God ordering our steps. And so when you go and you look back at Proverbs 16:9, the Lord directs his steps, but the Lord determines our steps. Yes, that's where we want to be as we're talking about a fresh biblical start. So, Mama, that's all I have for tonight.
Okay.
I think that's all I have for tonight. Sometimes we don't have to have a lot. Sometimes we just need to have just because the Lord knows if we were to take all of everything that he has in, we wouldn't be able to hold it. We wouldn't be able to hold it. So I think I'm done for tonight. We don't have to go till 9 o'clock. Mama, do you have any last final words that you'd like to bring before the?
Yes. Another thing I would like to just add is that we cannot tell everybody our plans because they will steal our plans. And I remember we were going, this was back home, we were on our way going to Salisbury, and one of the sisters was telling us, she had been that way before, and she was saying to us a sign, and it was it had to do with a sneaker. And she said she was riding by, and there she saw her sneaker, you know, sign, you know, the way she would been designing her sneaker up on the billboard. And she had passed it to someone that was very knowledgeable, you know, of the business and was going to help her. And it was not anything she could do about it because it hadn't been patented, hadn't been done, nothing had been done. You know, and then another sister was telling me about a play that she sent to New York to a certain director. And she had shared the plan with another friend. So they went to the movies to see this play, and it was her play. And, you know, and they never sent her back. You know, once you send the play, you know, they never send you back. They don't send it back to you and everything. And so, because I was writing something at the time, and I was sharing with her, and she was sharing with me. She says and told me how to do it. She said, if you're going to send anything off, she says you need to write it up, write your play or whatever you're doing, notarize it, get it notarized, put it in an envelope, and send it back to yourself and don't open it. And so, again, it goes back to God, because she thought that, you know, she didn't go to God. She just knew these people were successful over the years and that they would help her. So it's good to go to God, because if God will direct you to someone to assist you, because he knows the heart of man. We don't know the heart of man. We only know what we are shown. So, again, it's a good thing to just go with God to it and just be patient, because sometimes he doesn't answer right away. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for that, Mama. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of here for tonight. We are thankful that everybody has joined this new series with us. Trust me, it is going to get better. We're talking from the series, A Fresh Biblical Start to Planning and Saving. And I'm telling you, planning and saving is not that difficult, because all of you have the ability to start somewhere. And so that's why we're starting off the way we're starting off. That's why we're starting off with dealing with it from a fresh biblical start, because as we go among about our daily lives every day and we do the things that we're normally doing, sometimes things become mundane. Sometimes things become business as usual. And we know that a lot of people are not doing well when it comes to saving. We know this. We know this here at the PRF table. We know this at the PRF Teaching Ministry. So we're doing what we can to try to help people to reel themselves back in and say, okay, what do I need to do? How do I need to start? Where do I need to start? But it's only going to happen if you get a foundation up under you by understanding that it's not about your plans, it's about the plans that God has for you. When you go and think about Jeremiah 29:11, which we may touch on next week, but God says, I know the plans that I have for you. I'm going to stop right there at that part of the verse, because there's some stuff that happens before and there's some stuff that happens after that is a whole different context. But God always knows the plans that he has for you. So you can take that part of the scripture all by itself. God knows the plans that he has for you. And so if you're going to be connected with God, if you say that you're connected with God, if you are claiming to be a child of the King, if you're standing behind the pulpit on Sunday morning, if you're standing before the people teaching them on Sundays and on Wednesdays, then there should be some connection there to understand the plans that God has for you. We shouldn't be out here just flapping like fish in the wind, not understanding where we're going and how we're going to get there. No, I'm not saying that you have to have all of the answers. Abram didn't have all of the answers when God called him in Genesis 12. But he understood that God was in control, and so he followed the plan of God even without knowing all the details of God. So with that, we are going to say good night. We love you. We thank you so much. And we're going to ask that you keep one of our keep the family of Shatara in prayer. Just keep the family of Chitara in prayer. And all those that also that are there that are going through some difficult things. You know, when we go through difficult things sometimes, then there's some planning that has to be involved. And so we're just asking God to just really be involved in the mix and have everybody positioned where they need to be positioned, doing the things that that they need to do, not just in Chitara's family's life, but also in our lives as well. So with that, we want to say God bless you. We love you. We will talk to you next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Come back, talk to somebody about what we're talking about here on the PRF table. Invite them to take a seat at the PRF table. And remember, you can go to our website, prfministry.org, prfministry.org. Go to our website, look at what we're doing with PRF. We've got some new things that are out there. Check out our calendar so you can see when we'll have some workshops that may be in your area that you're not familiar with. And if you need us, we're here for you. So please don't hesitate to contact us. You can contact us at area code 267-437-7999, 267-437-7999. With that, my brothers and my sisters, God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful evening. Peace.